Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the latest episode of Biblical Escapes and Discussion. Today, I've got the great pleasure of being joined by photographer Aid Didney. Good evening, Aid.
Hiya, Ewan. How are you doing?
Not bad at all. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Great to have you on the podcast. Obviously, we'll get into chatting about your recent book, Lakeland Mist, shortly. But before we get into that, it'd be great if you could give everyone an introduction to yourself, your photographic background and journey.
Yeah. Well, I live on the edge of the Lake District, on the western edge of the Lake District, in Cumbria. I did 30, just over 30 years in Cumbria Police. So that's my background, pretty much straight from school. Joined the police 31 years later, retired. And I was in the fortunate position that house was paid for and, you know, didn't have to go out and look for work. All the lads had grown up and left home. So photography-wise, I've always been into the outdoors, walking, then into rock climbing, mountaineering, and I've always taken photographs, you know, kind of just documenting those journeys back in the day of slide film. And then when I retired, it was my eldest brother who's always been a photographer, said, why don't you get more into the digital photography? Because I hadn't really, I just had a few point and shoots. So I went on a adult learning photography course in 2012, you know, making and learning how to make better images, something like that. And it kind of progressed from there. You get obsessed with it, photography, don't you? And then,
absolutely,
you know, you keep buying different cameras, new cameras, trying different genres. But living in the Lake District, it's hard not to be a landscape photographer. And really, I went from being a hill walker and climber to a photographer who went out walking and climbing, you know, using my background of the knowledge of the Lake District to know where I could go and possibly get good shots from. So that's kind of it. I enjoy all kind of photography genres, though. From doing the adult learning course, I kind of progressed from there and did an open university course with the RPS, the Royal Photographic Society.
Yep.
And the follow on from that was doing distinctions. So I worked my way through the RPS distinctions. And that's where we're at now, really. You know, I'm a member of the landscape group in the RPS.
Yep.
And they do all kinds of projects, which are great to take part in if you're into landscape photography.
Yeah, and obviously I know it was one of the projects, which I think was the Zine project, which you participated in, and that kind of then led on to Lakeland Mist as it is now. So I'm just interested to know kind of what appealed to you. Had you looked at doing photo books or doing zines beforehand, or what was it that appealed about doing this particular project?
Yeah, I've done a few photo books. You know, as many people do, you look online and there's any amount of companies doing photo books now, and you don't have to know anything about sequencing or how to put a book together. You know, if you look at Bob's Books or Sal Digital or any of these kind of things, and you just get a collection of photographs and you download their software and you bang them in and you've got a book, you know, which is great. But I was interested in sort of progressing from that and learning more about how to make a book look good and what makes a book or a zine look good. So the RPS actually introduced a genre into their distinctions awards of photo books. So I've kind of been thinking about that over the last couple of years.
Yep.
So I've been wanting to learn more about photo books. And then this project came up, a friend of mine, Fiona McCowan, who has a fellowship in the photo book genre. She's in the landscape group, and she started this zine project and encouraged as many people as possible to take part in it. So I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to try and expand my knowledge on it.
Yeah. And so what form did it take? Was there regular meetings? And I suppose, was the aim to come away having created your own zine and then share them around? Or I suppose, what was the kind of the premise and the structure behind it?
Yeah, it started off with a Zoom talk. I think it was by Tim Daly, who's He's a member of the RPS, but he's also he teaches photography at a university.
Yep.
So he did a talk, and then it was very much about go away and start your own zine. So I actually signed up for a course, a Zoom course with Tim Daly, which was about how to put a zine together or how to put a photo book together. Although I found I had a few deficiencies. I'd always used software provided by companies. So this course was about in Lightroom, but I found that a bit clunky. So I used Affinity Publisher. It's quite a steep learning curve, and I'm still only very much a beginner at it, but you know, with what Tim taught us on the course and using a Affinity Publisher, I ended up with a PDF, which is what the RPS wanted, from everybody that took part, a PDF of the zine. But my thoughts were, well, I've done this PDF, you know, surely the next step is to actually get it printed. So it's quite a big scary step, that when you're looking around for publishers, and there's all the costs involved, and how many do you get printed, and and when you do, you kind of, you're hovering over that you know, buy now or print button, and it's pretty scary when you think. I decided to get 25 published.
Yeah, well, that's it. But I think
the
options available now allow you to get small runs printed, which I think is one of the real appeals of doing zines. That the options there have opened up. So once you got into the project, how did you settle on your topic of Lakeland Mist? Where did that come from? I suspect it's probably driven your locality to it, but what was your thought process behind using this?
I was looking through my library to see what I could do a project on. Obviously, with it being a landscape project, it had to be landscape images. So I was looking through my library and trying to see what I had that would make a collection, you know. So I sort of had a look, and I had quite a lot of misty Lake District shots.
Yeah.
The problem was that they were nearly all in colour. And I thought, looking at them, they just didn't seem to, I didn't see how they would sit together. So that was when I came on the idea of turning them all to black and white and just producing them in a zine in black and white. So then it's a question of whittling down to a manageable number, really.
Yeah. And was there, as part of the project, were you able to share your work as you were kind of like going through ideas of what you might do with the rest of the group for feedback, or was it very much, this is kind of the start to doing it, and then you went away and kind of came back at the end with here's my sequence sort of thing?
Yeah, that was more of how it was. I mean, there are people you can get in touch with and they'll give you advice and things. But having done the course with Tim Daly, I was pretty happy to go away and work on my own project, you know. And as you say, at the end, we were encouraged to share those with the rest of the people taking part in the project. And in fact, Tim reviewed a number of the PDFs at the end of the project.
Yeah, very good. And where, I suppose, what was kind of the, where did you kind of make your selection of images from? Because I'm sure you've got so many images of nice misty conditions in the Lake District. Did you have a particular story or a particular theme that you wanted to try and share throughout the work to try and link it all together?
In actual fact, you know, where I live in the West Coast, we don't get that much. Right. We don't get that many misty conditions. So I don't have that many misty shots. Yeah. I obviously had enough to do the zine, and there's more in my library. But you'll find, if you look at the book and the locations, you'll find quite a lot of those that are in the book are shot at the same location, maybe looking in different views.
Okay.
So it was about getting images that work together in the book or on opposite pages, you know, to try and get a sequence that worked nicely.
Yeah, and how did you kind of tackle the sequencing? Did you, I suppose, print anything out? I know a lot of people take different approaches. I quite like printing out small contact sheets so that I'm not looking at it on screen, and then I can play around with it physically. But I know other people were quite happy just to kind of work through a couple of hundred images on their Lightroom catalog and then see how they all fit together.
Distinctions. I put them into a collection in Lightroom, and as you say, you might have 100 images. I think there's I'm just trying to think how many images there are in the book. There's about 40, isn't there? Yeah, it's 40 pages, and there's some pages have got more than two images on. So having done that, I found in Affinity Publisher, I could, when you put them into the sequence, they're pretty easy to move about. And so I don't print them off. It's the same way as I did the sequencing for my panels for my RPS distinctions. I just end up moving them around, and then I'll go away and come back the next day and
See how they
go, in
feel.
actual fact, I'm not sure that one goes there, and that one would look better with that one. So it's very much trial and error.
No, I must say, looking through it, I think the sequencing's lovely. I think just the nice combinations of some of the darker shots earlier on, and then just some of the couple of the pages where you've got shots that are maybe up higher ground sort of thing, looking over maybe down the valleys, which I think it's really nice, and it's lovely to see, I suppose, someone who's keen and interested in learning about zines and publishing zines. As you say, we all have these great ideas of what we want to do with our work, but it's actually the challenges delivering them. And I'm sure, I would hope, I suspect that the RPS project probably kind of spurs you on because you know there's an end date and an end goal in mind.
Yeah, definitely. If you've got a date to work to, it certainly focuses the mind. And as the date gets nearer, you think, well, I need to get on with this. I need to, finish it. And at the end of the day, you're not pleasing anybody else, so it's you're producing a project that you want to be happy with, and you either achieve that or you think, well, I can always tweak it later, because we didn't need to actually get it printed for the RPS. Even when it was finished, there was still room to move stuff about if I wanted to.
And did you find yourself going and taking any or trying to take any particular shots once you kind of got into the sequencing process? You thinking, this one kind of sits by itself, but it'd be lovely to include it in the book, and maybe I'll go and find something that maybe kind of matches up with it.
Well, do you know what, Ewan? On this occasion, I didn't go out and take any more shots after I'd started. They were all shots in my library. And I guess I'm lucky in that respect. I keep all my photographs in my library. And I use keywords a lot. So
Easy to
it means I
identify.
can easily go back. I can go back and I can pull out stuff that's relevant to whatever subject I'm looking at the time. I mean, I've got another idea of possibly doing another one called Lakeland Snow. So again, I could go back into my library and look for all those with keywords of Lake District and snow. So for me, keywording is quite an important process. I know a lot of people don't bother with it, but I always say to people, if you wanted to look for, you took a photograph of a blue boat on a lock 5 years ago, how are you going to find it? So.
I would agree. I like to keyword everything so that at least I can find things that are have a correlation or a relationship, even though they might be from entirely different years and entirely different locations. It can be much easier. But as I suppose, having now done it and have it seen it in print, has it given you maybe like ideas and motivation to do it for some of your other work? Has maybe been an output for even if it's just yourself or doing small runs?
I was quite pleased with the result. I was pleased when you've got the book in your hand. I was pleased with how it felt because, like I was saying before, when you press print, you never quite know what you're going to get. It's motivated me to do more of the same. I think, as you well know, books are really tactile. They're a far better way, I think, of looking at photographs than looking at images on a screen. I mean, I used to, my mother had dementia, and I used to take her one or two photo books I'd made, and it was great because she could sit and she could leaf through them, and I could talk about them to her. Whereas the idea of putting a tablet in front of somebody and scrolling through them, I just don't think it's got the same, it's not got the same feel to it.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think it's such a nice tactile way to look at it, and you can pay so much attention and detail to the actual quality and the materials that you're using. I accept that zines are maybe somewhat more restricted, but at the same time, you can still have different paper selections that work differently for different types of images. So obviously, once you got to the end of the project, what kind of spurred you on to get it printed, and how did you take it from the PDF onto the print? What were your kind of steps and your options that were available?
Yeah, so like I say, I thought we were actually, going to produce a book to send to the RPS. But what Fiona ended up doing was she did what she described as a secret Santa, and she took
Right.
everybody's name in the project and picked names out of the hat, and those then she emailed them. So we actually swapped zines with other people on the project, and actually out of that, I know quite a few people that did it. And people have either sent me their zines or I've sent them a copy of the zine. So it's been a great way to see other people's ideas and all sorts of different landscape topics as well, some detailed ones and some with wider landscapes in. I mean, regarding the publishing, I really wasn't sure who to use, or for your first one, it's very much trial and error.
Absolutely.
I just I spoke to a couple of people and read reviews, and a lot of it for me was down to cost. I mean, I forget the name of the company, but one of them you could get a proof copy to look at beforehand, but it was kind of for a run of 25, it was twice the price of I used Mixam in the end. And I thought they were really good value, and they offer pretty wide variety of papers and covers, finishes, and they'll send you
PDF
an
draft.
example pack.
Yeah. Yep, of papers.
Well, they send you an example pack of papers, and to so you can actually feel the paper, and you get an idea of what you get. You get a there's a You get an example of the PDF on the website. But they don't send you a proof copy. But so it's a bit of a leap of faith when you press print. But
It's a learning experience, but at the same time, you're not committing to printing 200 copies. And I think if you're to print a bigger run, you could easily do a smaller batch of 5 or 10 copies, send round to a few people, get some feedback. And I'm interested, it's when you did the sequencing, did you take any feedback from any photography friends or anyone from the RPS group? And at the end, when you were sharing the zines, do you think if you'd had feedback during the process that your sequencing and your thought process behind it might have turned out slightly differently?
That's a very difficult question. I mean, we all have our own ways of doing things. I didn't actually get any feedback off anybody during the process. And because I knew I was going to print it, I didn't want Tim Daly to, when he did the reviews of the PDFs at the end, I asked him not to review mine because I didn't want people to see it until I printed it, which is, might think it's a bit odd, but I wanted it, anybody that got it, I wanted it to be, first time seeing. So, I mean, I think when you look through things, you always think, oh, that, I might have changed, if I did it again, I might change that. But generally speaking, I was very happy. I was happy with the sequencing. As you'll have seen, there's very little words in it. I'm not a creative writer at all. So, apart from a few quotes, there's virtually no writing in it.
But I think most photographers are the same. I think photographers find it very difficult to write about their own work. And actually, I would say some of the best words that you've seen written are from proper writers who have maybe seen the body of work and then really have a proper skill to put words along to those to the images that they're seeing. But I do like the fact that you've incorporated some nice quotes throughout, and I like the sequencing as well. I think it comes up really nicely, and there's a couple of obviously double spread images, but I think the where they're located, they work pretty well, and nothing's cut off in the gutter as you quite often see in so many nice books, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was having done the course with Tim Daly. You know, he made us very aware of things like that. So I was quite conscious of not putting stuff in on a double page where it was going to go across the gutter.
And
Yeah, I mean, on
do you think it's maybe changed your approach to photography in terms of working in project based or working with a fixed output in mind, such as a book?
I definitely think I'll be doing more projects now with the idea of producing some kind of book or zine from that project. You know, I've got quite a few things. I started making notes on my phone. You know, I went to the photography show in March, and on the train on the way home, you know, I'm making notes after people I've seen talking of ideas that I want to try, and thinking, oh yeah, that would probably make into a book, or that might make into a zine. So definitely go out with the idea of shooting collections to do something with. I think it's all right putting in single images on social media. I do it a lot, but I like the idea of producing, you know, small bodies of work or something that you could make into a small book or a zine.
Well, that's the thing is, it doesn't always need to be a big run. It could be a handmade book for yourself, just of a body of work that's quite personal. And I think when you get into the handmade elements, you open yourself up to real options of getting really nice quality papers printed as well, because you're not doing mass runs. And I think at that point it can become really something quite special.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually done a couple of courses through the RPS on handmade books, and that's something I'd like to get into more. You know, again, it's quite a steep learning curve, but some of them, you know, as you know, your concertina books can be really simple and not difficult to make at all. Yeah, you can do a nice concertina book with half a dozen or 10 images, you know, just put together.
That's it. It doesn't need to be full of 50, 60 images, which can often be quite challenging. And actually, I think I think it can be harder if you try to sequence a bundle of 8 or 9 images to get them really perfect, because they need to work really well together. Whereas I think if you're looking at something much bigger, there's maybe a bit more scope for more variety, more diversity, and things can not get lost, but can kind of float around a wee bit more. Whereas if you're looking at a very short sequence, it needs to be pretty snappy, otherwise these things begin to stand out really easily.
Yeah, I think you've got to, for a small book of maybe half a dozen images, they've all got to be pretty good standalone images. Otherwise, you know, it you can see the shortcomings of it.
And overall, is it going forward? Would you do other workshops? Would you recommend? I don't know if the RPA, I don't know if the project's working again, but it obviously seems it's been a positive experience for you to kind of like get you producing a zine and then taking it on to the next stage, which is printing it.
Yeah, I'm always looking through the RPS website to see what workshops are on. Yeah, definitely. I think there's some more workshops on handmade books other than the ones I've already done. So, you know, I think you can't beat having a workshop where it feels like a one-to-one, even if it's on Zoom, you know, whereas everything's out there on YouTube. But when you've actually got somebody you can bounce ideas off and ask advice from, it costs more than YouTube, but it's worth it because you're gaining knowledge and experience.
And I think it's then very specific to you, as opposed to just having to watch and listen. You as you say, you've got the ability to ask questions, get feedback, find out the wee bits and things that you're not necessarily sure about, and you've got someone who can directly answer the questions for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the course with Tim, who, as I say, lectures in photography, you know, he pointed out stuff that I would have never have thought of. And when you see it in a book or you see in examples that he shows you, you think, oh God,
It's obvious.
I've seen that, but I didn't realize it was a thing, you know. So you pick up all sorts of ideas and tips.
But as you say, it's like if when you come to produce your next zine, you'll be far more confident about pressing that print button than you are in the first time, because you begin to get an understanding of what works or how it might come out, how it might look, and everything like that. And it is just it's all through experience of doing these things, much as I suppose doing anything photography or anything related is. The more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. Just as curating your images and sequencing the images, the more you do it, the more comfortable and confident you feel in terms of what you kind of pull together.
Absolutely. And you know, photography, I always say to people, you know, take photography for yourself. You know, you might be in a photography club, and you do competitions or whatever, and you get judged from an outside judge. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing it for yourself and enjoying it yourself, enjoying the process, then you kind of got to question why are you doing it, you know.
I would agree. It's such a subjective thing. But I think it also it kind of comes back to the books, because it's so subjective. So much of it's so personal. But then if it was all just big hardback books, then you've not got the ability to get some of the smaller, more unique projects out there that people work on. Whereas actually the ability to do something that's a small run of say 10 or 15 copies, that's maybe 20 pages long or something like that, that's something quite personal. I think it's a great way. And you see lots of people, particularly in the zine world, who will publish a zine and it's only for sharing and or for swaps, so that people can, like, you might do a run of 25 and it's only available if you've got a zine to swap with someone. So all of a sudden you begin to expand your network and you begin to see other people's work, which I think is a lovely way to do it as well.
I think that was one of the things I didn't realize. I thought getting a zine or a book published, I thought it had to be an expensive process, and I was pleasantly surprised. You know, 25 zines from Mixam was like £32 or something, and I thought, you know, that's like £1.50 a copy. And it was actually one of the books I'm going to talk about later. It was the author of that I spoke to, and I said he was selling them on social media for £10 or £12 posted, and I said, you must be making a loss on this. And he said, no. He says you can get them published for not very much money, and you know, if you're sending them second class, you're not doing it to make a profit really, but you're
No.
not making a loss on it.
No, that's it. And I think it maybe helps fund or print some copies of another zine or another project or something like that. As you say, you're not doing it to get rich. That's one thing for sure. But it's a lovely way for people to share the work. And it's interesting, you obviously talk about, I'm obviously interested in terms of what people like on their own bookshelves. So it would be great if you could maybe share a selection, four or five of your favorite photo books from your own bookshelf, Aid.
Yeah, so well, I'll start with the one that I've just referred to, and it's a book called January Days by David Baker, and I don't know if you know David, but
I
his
know him very
website is
well.
under the term of Milu Vision, and I first saw an exhibition of David's probably 7 or 8 years ago when he did the Sea Fever images, and
The
he's
biggest
recently, I think
book.
this one I was just looking before we came on, this is published last year, 2023, January Days, and they're all black and white images of a beach in Scotland. They're all taken on one beach, and it's a superb little book, and this kind of inspired me for the Lakeland Mist book. You know, they're all black and whites, just one to a page. There's no writing in it at all. It's a lovely little book. It's quite a thick little book, but yeah, and he was doing that, selling it to people via social media for not very much money, and as I say, I messaged him and said, you must be making a loss on this, but no, it turns out you can do it yourself.
Yeah, no, David's produced a number of small books and small zines in recent years. He also did March, there was a book, March Days. I think one March
Yeah.
Days is the light version or the light equivalent, and January Days is kind of the darker ones. And he's done a whole lot, and there's been some various handmade books which his partner Shona has made for him as well, which are
Yeah.
very nice as well. But yeah, it shows you that it's feasible to get the work out there, and it doesn't need to be overly expensive or overly fancy.
Yeah. And I followed David for quite a few years, and he does some really nice creative photography as well, which yeah, I'm a big fan of his work. Second one I was going to mention, just a little, I get inspired. I read Amateur Photographer magazine, and they always have some book reviews in there. And I've bought a number of books over the years that they've reviewed. Martin O'Neill is he was a press photographer and photojournalist, and he's published under the name of Wrong Way Round Books. And this one was called Photography, There's No Money in That Son. And they're all black and white street images.
Okay.
Going back a number of years, some of them. And it's one of, I think it's one of five books. I'm not sure if he's finished the others,
Right.
but it's called Book One on the front. And the title was from his mother saying, "Photography, there's no money in that, son."
Yeah.
And he's made a career, as a press photographer.
Yeah.
It's not a particularly thick book, but there's some really powerful black and white street photography images in there.
Yeah. Is that that's
And
it? It's carry on.
I think I got that off his website. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's amazing just what books begin to appeal to people, and it's not necessarily the work that you shoot yourself, which I always think is enjoyable. It's like I don't shoot documentary portraits and stuff like that, but I still love a very good documentary body of work put together. I think it can be incredibly powerful when it's been done particularly well.
I picked out a couple of coffee, what I call coffee table books as
Yep.
well. So the next one would be by Bruce Percy,
Okay.
The Sound of Snow. I don't know if you're, I don't know if you're aware of it.
Got
It's
it
almost,
myself.
it's, and
Yep,
he
it's
says in
lovely.
his in, yeah, he says in his introduction, it's almost a homage to Michael Kenner. And it's all very minimalist. Snow scenes in Hokkaido in Japan. And interesting, I was reading the introduction again today before before this, and he says it, they all make Hokkaido look perfect, but in
Yeah.
actual fact, he said he had to work really hard to get these minimal
Shots.
shots of trees and snow, with a local Japanese guide showing him around.
Yeah. It love a lovely book and really nice work as well. I'm a big fan of the minimal, particularly Japan. Fantastic place. And yeah, Michael Kenna, Bruce Percy, there's a few others now. You see it more and more popular as a location for people to go and photograph to, and you see more images cropping up. Don't see too many books of it, but there's certainly one or two seem to show up here and there.
And actually, when I looked in the back, not a particularly big run of books either.
No.
I mean, I just bought one of the ordinary versions, but I think it was only 200 that he had printed.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how many of those are still available, but they're probably out there if people look for them.
Yeah, I would imagine somewhere, but yeah, that he did. Bruce doesn't do big print runs. It's normal about 300 as a top for any of his recent books. So quite hard to find.
Yeah, I'd like to go on one of his trips, but they're all fairly exotic and fairly exotically priced as well.
That's
So,
it. Yeah, but I suppose yeah, you're traveling to the other side of the world, so there's I suppose there's reasons behind it, unfortunately.
The other coffee table book I've got here is I think this one was reviewed in Amateur Photographer, and it's an absolute monster of a book. It's called Arctic Heroes by Ragnar Ak Axelsson.
Yep.
I'm not sure what nationality Ragnar is.
He's Icelandic.
I was going to say, with a name like that, he's got to have some Icelandic or Norse background. And it's another black and white book, funnily enough. So three out of five of mine are black and white. And the Arctic heroes are the sled dogs of Greenland. Photographed, I think, between 1986 and 2019, so over a 34-year period. And they're really interesting, the photographs, because some of them are really quite no what I would call normal sharp photographs, and yet some of them, he's obviously used slower shutter speeds. So you've got this picture of a sled dog with a blurry background where the snow's blowing about and everything. It's an amazing book, and the stories in it. I don't know if you've seen it, but the stories in it about the Greenlandic fishermen, well, they're almost unbelievable, you know, how the dogs have saved their lives and things. Fantastic.
Yeah, I really like Ragnar's work. I've got that one. I've got Faces of the North as well, and I love the kind of like part documentary, part landscape style to it, where he's bringing like people and individuals or the dogs and the characters into kind of like the wild landscapes that they kind of operate, live within, and kind of function within as well. And it's all his work's really nicely done, really beautiful images that really tell very poignant and kind of like effective stories, I think, from my perspective, which it really appeals.
Yeah, and I think the size of it, you've got really big
Yeah.
photographs to look at, which you can really sit down and enjoy the images.
Yeah, I would
Really good.
agree, definitely. Really good book.
And the last one I picked out was probably one of the first photo books I bought. It goes back to 2014, I think it was published, and it's iPhone Only by Julian
Oh, yes.
Calverley.
Yep.
Julian's a landscape. British landscape and advertising photographer, does a lot of product photography. But I was reading in the back, and this was all shot with his iPhone 4S and 5S. So that's how far back it goes.
Yeah.
And all of them processed using Snapseed on his phone. So, no computers involved other than possibly the putting together of the book. And there's photographs in there of all around Britain.
Yeah.
And they just have a different look to them because of the using Snapseed to process them. They're kind of split toned with colors. They are color plates, color photographs, but they look almost monochromatic. But they've got this split tone into them. It was a super little book
Yeah,
when he printed it out.
very atmospheric shots from Julian. You won't see any of his shots with a beautiful sunrise or sunset. It's all set in the
Yeah.
atmosphere when it's generally after storms, in the middle of storms. And again, I think it's a great book. It shows you what's feasible and what can be achieved with your phone. And as you're saying, that's going back to iPhone 5 and 4 and 5. So you're talking 10, 11 years ago. But it's also been
Yeah.
really nicely printed as well. Really high quality print job. Paper choices, etc., which do add to the feel of it. But yeah, it shows you what's feasible. And his other book, which is from, is it North Northwest again? It's big A3 kind of size, and again, really nice, but a different kind of book entirely.
Yeah. He's an excellent photographer. He's
Yep.
Julian. Beautiful little book. And again, don't know if it's still available, but probably find it somewhere if people are looking for it.
I would imagine so, but no, some lovely sort of selections there, Aid. Really nice just to see a total variety, particularly quite a global and a black and white variety as well, which is quite good. But everything from, yeah, as you say, like nice simple books that have been done with iPhones to simple easy zines that have been published to some of the higher end stuff, which is kind of like from the far side of the world. But again, it's all attention to detail and all everyone takes care and attention over their own product because it's how they want to present their work.
I mean, I think, like you said, David Baker, his partner, had a hand in putting that together. And I see Bruce Percy's. I was looking in the back. It's graphic designs by Darren Colley-Leach,
Yes, yep.
who I know and I've been to Scotland with. So, the collaborations obviously do help, but you can just the same you can. As I've proved, you can put your own together and not make a bad job of it.
No, I would agree, and I think that 99% of the people who probably bring a book out or a zine out or something do it in exactly that way, and it's all about your when you're who you're doing it for, I suppose, to a certain extent, and the fundamentals are you've got to please yourself, particularly when you're producing your own zine. But yeah, like Lynn Mist, it's a lovely body of work. It's great to see that you've kind of followed through from the PDF version of the RPS project and brought something out into print, and it'll be good to see how you maybe like kind of take that forward in future for future projects to kind of bring more projects into paper and hopefully away from the digital screen a wee bit more.
Yeah, well, I think it gives you something, like we've said before, it gives you something physical and tangible
Yeah.
to look at, and you can pass it around your family or whatever, even if you've no intention of
Yeah.
trying to sell them. So it's a great way of looking at images.
Well, that's it. It makes easy Christmas presents for the relatives, to be honest.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's very cost effective, which I think it doesn't deserve the credit that it's probably due for enabling work to come out that otherwise we'd never see the light of day if we were only able to buy big hardback books of bigger print runs.
Yeah, I think as you said before, the idea of swapping zines with people, it's a great way to see what other people are doing at a very, very low cost way of doing it.
Yeah, no, I think that's I've seen it done before. Maybe it'd be nice to try and set something up because I think it could be quite a fascinating way of doing something just that wee bit different and seeing exactly what kind of like a whole bundle of zines that you've got no idea what to expect, just to see the kind of randomness of people's subject matters and themes.
Yeah, some kind of zine swap shop would be
Yeah,
perfect.
quite good. Anyway, Aid, look, it's been a real pleasure chatting to you. Lovely to hear your story and how you kind of went through the stages and through the process and producing a lovely zine as well. So thank you very much for your time this evening. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks very much for inviting me. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And yeah, it's been good chatting to you.
Cheers.